Good morning. I want a few thoughts on the Father's love. Recently, I've been spoken to fairly clearly, I think, by the Holy Spirit on this subject, that God, He is amazing. The Creator, the Forgiver of sins, the Healer, the Miracle Worker, the Guide, and one who has prepared for us an amazing destiny for those who respond to his message of love. And yet, to our way of thinking, he can be illogical, contradictory, unreasonable, and even to our way of thinking, unfair. Isaiah chapter 55 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The chapter 15 of Luke, there are three parables, and they're all to do with seeking the lost and expressing the love of God. Jesus, we are told, was speaking to the Pharisees. I've been looking at some of William Barclay's commentaries, and he's been saying that quite clearly the Pharisees found it an offence that Jesus associated with men and women who, by the Pharisees' orthodox belief, were sinners. These sinners were labelled the people of the land. There was a complete barrier between the Pharisees and these people of the land. To marry a daughter to one of these was like exposing her bound and helpless to a lion. The Pharisaic regulations state that you entrusted no money to one of these sinners, the people of the land. You would trust him with no secret. You would not appoint him guardian of an orphan. You would not make him custodian of charitable funds. You would not even accompany him on a journey, or be a guest, or have him as a guest in your own home. You would limit any business dealings with him. You would not buy anything from him or sell anything to him, unless it was absolutely essential. No wonder the Pharisees were appalled and shocked that Jesus ate with these people of the land, these publicans and sinners, the people who would defile him, these people who did not observe the petty details of the law, the Pharisaical law. Only those who observed the minutiae of the law would see the kingdom of God. Jesus in these parables showed that God actually looks for and receives sinners who respond to his love. Romans 5 verse 8, "But God demonstrate his own love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The strict Jew, Orthodox Jew, would not say there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, but rather, there is joy in heaven over one sinner who is obliterated before God. They look sadistically forward not to the saving, but to the destruction of the sinner. Thus, these parables in chapter 15 were a contradiction in emphasis to the Pharisaical view of Father's attitude to the sinner. In the third parable, the parable of the lost son, maybe better named the parable of the father's love, the younger son, tired, fed up working on the farm, asked for his share of his inheritance according to the Mosaic law. In Deuteronomy 21, verse 17, it speaks about a double portion goes to the older son. The younger son gets one third. Note that in verse 13 of chapter 15, he gets all that he had and sets off. He cuts his family ties completely and goes to a far country away from anyone who would know him, and he squanders inheritance in wild living. Once his resources are finished, there is famine in the land, and he gets desperate. He looks for a job. He can only find one looking after pigs, the ultimate humility for a Jew as pigs were unclean animals, according to Leviticus 11, verse 7. He has reached rock bottom, hungry and depressed. But then as he sits in abject misery, he comes to his senses. I will return to my father and admit my faults, my sins, show repentance for my behaviour and ask to work for him as a hired hand. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. He expected just punishment for his reckless, foolish, sinful behaviour. As he trudges up that farm road, the father who had been anxiously waiting for news sees him and runs and embraces him. The son tries to say sorry and apologise, but his father says no. He instructs a celebration. A robe, a ring and sandals, a party to celebrate his return. This wayward son expected justice, and he received grace and love. Note the older son. The older son responds as we might well have done. What's he doing back here? He let the side down. He broke up the family. He gave father grief. He increased my workload. He squandered his hard-earned inheritance. He deserves punishment. This would then be the attitude of the Pharisees. But we have a God who wants the best for us. He seeks us out with love and invites response. When we have sinned, done our own thing, we're apt to justify ourselves. We build walls to protect our pride, our feelings. We are reluctant to admit our failings. The Father's love and forgiveness is still there. As a younger son, we may reach the depths before laying down our pride and repenting of our sins. We know it's not easy when we feel that our outburst, our sins are justified, and yet repentance and forgiveness is the only way forward. We need to say sorry and mean it. We may say, oh, I might say sorry, but I accept the other party to respond in like manner. Or, oh, I'm going to have to give a full justification for my actions before I say sorry. Or, I will forgive, but I can never forget. You know, the whole point of forgiveness and apology is for our benefit, because Scripture requires it as followers of Jesus. Not easy, but that is the requirement of Scripture. It is to our benefit, regardless of what we may feel is a suitable response from the other party. The outcome is in God's hands. We forgive, but we can't forget. This may be understandable, but learn the lessons of the experience and do not allow any root of bitterness to develop. As in the case of Zacchaeus, there may be a place to show restitution, the fruit of the Spirit. In Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus, having met Jesus from his own sinful life of tax collecting, he offers to give half his goods to feed the poor and four times to those he has cheated. Restitution after apologizing, after showing repentance. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. David, after committing adultery with Bathsheba and arranging the death of Uriah the Hittite, he comes before God broken. In chapter 51, Psalm 51, verse 17, it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart he will not despise. Our amazing God is ready to embrace, forgive the repentant sinner. Is he unfair? Yes, he's unfair. If he was fair, he would give us what our sins deserve. But his abounding grace forgives and reinstates the repentant sinner. It takes moral courage to repent of sin. to face people to forgive those who in turn have wronged us. In Prison Fellowship, we heard the story of Ray and Di Donovan. In 2001, their son Christopher was coming home, but he was attacked and murdered by a group of youths. As Christians, Ray and Di suffered greatly, until Ray said, "You know, the Bible says quite clearly we are meant to forgive. Gosh, we find it hard. But Lord, help us to forgive." It took time and prayer until in 2011, they had their first meeting, a powerful meeting, a very emotional meeting with the man who murdered their son. But the healing release was evident as this relationship developed and continues to develop even today in this course of what they would call restorative justice. When we put matters right, we realise that he is there to love, to forgive, to help us, to make the right steps. In Psalm 40 it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in God." When we take the right steps towards God, he will bless. He will give us a sense of peace. He will put a new song in our mouths. As we plan to move back to the North Muir Hall, can we seek God and follow his leading and be reconciled to one another? Yes, it'll take courage. It'll take prayer and fasting. But I believe that's God, what God wants, that we can see him in the love we would have for each other as we meet together again in the future. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're a God of love who seeks us and who wants the best for us, who forgives us and sets our feet on a rock and gives us a firm place to stand. Forgive us, forgive me for sins. Help us, Lord, to approach each other face to face and deal with the issues that have caused the pain and to see reconciliation true and useful, that you indeed, Lord, can again be enthroned in our hearts and in our witness. And for the community around, that we're able to reach out again with love and to know your power and your blessing as other people turn to you and know your love in their turn. Jesus, thank you again. Amen.